Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill, the pastor of Providence Church, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. We are located in Evansville, Indiana. It's great to have you here with me for a Thursday, August 26th, 2021. This is edition number 66 of season 4 of the Morning Devotional. We are currently working our way through the Westminster Shorter Catechism. We are right in the middle of an exposition of the Fourth Commandment. Today we're going to consider part two of question and answer number 60. But let's pray together first, and then we'll consider this together this morning. Our God in heaven, as we come before you, as we bow before you, we thank you for your many mercies and your acts of providence and how you sustain and guide and keep your people. We are like sheep. We do go astray, but we have your word, and it is given to us that we might have a light to our path and a guide unto our lives, that we might know how to live in this fallen world. And we would pray that as we consider this fourth commandment, we might ask that you would help us to understand the importance of this commandment, and that we would seek to live it in our lives. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive your church for being so negligent on this particular issue. And help us now as we consider it together. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, question number 60, as we began it yesterday, the question is, how is the Sabbath to be sanctified? That is to say, how is it to be set apart, different, unique from all the other days? Now, we know that that's true because God himself did that in Genesis chapter 2, the first three verses, as he called it holy. The answer is that the Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship, except so much as is to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. Now, we know that the day is holy. We have talked about this extensively, Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Set it apart, treat it differently from other days of the week. Now, God did that by his own example. We are to follow that principle. Yesterday, we looked at this issue about resting all that day from such worldly employments and recreations. Today, we're going to consider more so of how we are to sanctify it. And the first thing we notice right away is that we are to spend the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship. Now, the public exercise of God's worship is quite obvious, isn't it? It is that gathering together of the people of God on the Lord's Day for corporate worship. And, of course, I believe Scripture teaches that we should do that morning and evening insofar as we are able or not providentially hindered from such activities. The private worship part is certainly part and parcel of the answer to this question. It's not discussed as often, but what would that look like? Well, if you're a single individual, private worship would be spending time in God's Word and in prayer. If you're a family, utilizing that time as a family to read God's Word and pray. Now, let me give you some suggestions. One of the things you can do and ought to do is on the Lord's Day afternoon, you can spend time reflecting upon the sermon that you heard from your pastor. You can read through the text. You can look at your notes if you take notes. You can meditate upon some of the things that are said within the confines of the sermon. You can look up the cross references that are mentioned or were mentioned in the sermon. Or perhaps if you have a Bible with those cross-references there, you can look those up and meditate further on them. You can journal the sermon in a notebook. You can write things down. You can pray through the text. There's many different ways in which you can engage and make use of the Lord's Day in a way that you probably are not as able the other days of the week. In fact, the Larger Catechism tells us in question 160, what is required of those to hear the word preached, one of the things that is required is that we would meditate and confer of it and hide in our hearts, bring forth fruit of it in our lives. And that takes effort. And the Lord in his providence gave us the Lord's Day by which we can exercise this. The other thing you can do is you can engage in time of Christian fellowship with other believers within your church, have them over for a meal, or and sit and talk about the sermon, talk about the things of the Lord. What is he doing in your life? How are you walking with him? What struggles are you having? Pray together as families as you have them over. These are things that just don't happen enough in the church today. And then we wonder why we don't seem to generate, we don't seem to gain much from preaching, and we don't seem to benefit much from the Lord's Day because we don't use it for the reasons it's been designed. It's been designed for us that we might lay hold of it and take advantage of it. And these are just some practical suggestions in which we can do that. And it's one way in which we can make it holy. We can set it apart. It's a day that's different. And frankly, it affords you more opportunities for these things than perhaps the other days of the week afford you. In Leviticus 23, in verse 3, there we read about this idea of it being a holy day, a holy convocation there in verse 3, Leviticus 23, verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation, a holy gathering of the people of God, both in its public exercise of worship, but also in its private exercise as families or other families, as I've already mentioned. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. But that's not just an Old Testament principle. We have the example of the Savior in Luke chapter 4, in verse 16. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, and he, that is Christ, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. What did he read? The scroll of the prophet Isaiah. So there he's engaged in public worship on the Sabbath day. And then we have the examples of the apostles. So it's not just the Savior who gives us this example. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. So there we have the saints gathering together, and there Paul preaches a sermon functionally, and a young man fell asleep and fell out of a third-story window or door or whatever it was, probably a window. But there we have the example of the apostles to gather in a holy convocation, gather in worship, a public exercise of worship. The confession or the catechism answer also goes on to qualify the use of this day as we seek to sanctify it by making the statement, the final phrase in the question, except so much as is to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. And we glean from Scripture this principle from the example given to us in Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. I'm not going to read the whole section. All I want you to do is go back and read it for yourself. But what this highlights, really, is that there are times on the Lord's Day in which we are to engage in acts of necessity and mercy. One of the examples is given here is about a sheep who falls into a pit. This is verse 11. Which one of you would not go and take hold of it and lift it out? That's an act of necessity, probably an act of mercy as well. But also, healing a man with a withered hand, which is what goes on in this narrative, is an act of mercy. And so there are things that we can do that we might not be able to do on other days. We might be able to volunteer our time in a homeless shelter or a soup kitchen, go visit a shut-in that is in your church. There are many different things, just brainstorm. Really, the list is quite endless that we can exercise on this day in a way that we might not be able to do on other days. Acts of necessity and acts of mercy. Occupations, certain occupations are necessary and, frankly, merciful. Police officers, people break the law on the Lord's Day. Firemen, you know, houses burn on the Lord's Day. Fires break out. Nurses, doctors, you can go on and just think through this carefully and logically, and you can recognize that there are certain things that are just necessary to be done on the Lord's Day. Some might say, well, no, Pastor, you work on the Lord's Day. I do. There's no question. It's work. But it's an act of mercy. It's an act of necessity. I'm being used of the Lord to gather God's people together that they might hear from him as the word is preached. That's certainly labor. But it's an act of mercy and an act of necessity as commanded by God. So there's many different ways in which we can meet this commandment, sanctify it, set it apart, use it as holy. If we would just make the effort to think through these things. Husbands and wives, sit down and talk about how you might be able to employ some of these things in your home. Certainly, you want to give your children the benefit of the scriptures. And you might not be able to do that as much during the week. You have jobs and lots of other things are going on during the week. But yet, on the Lord's Day, you have opportunity. If we would just take a hold of it, the church would benefit greatly. The glory of God's kingdom would increase. Our children will be taught, catechized in the precious doctrines of our holy religion. All of these things are given to us. They are afforded us on the Lord's Day. But instead, what do? We substitute it with silly things, taking our kids to baseball games and taking our kids to other activities that aren't going to prosper their soul. They have other days for that. My friends, let's not waste the day. Let's use it the way God intends it to be used, to strengthen us, to help us as we pilgrim together in this journey of the Christian life. God has been kind. He is faithful. He has given us this day. If we would just lay hold of it and seize it, use it for all the good that it is, and take advantage of it as God intends. Well, I trust these times are a blessing for you. I hope they are. If you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. The information is there before you on the screen. And so until the Friday edition, when we take up question number 61, what is forbidden in the fourth commandment, may the Lord bless you today. May you serve him. God bless.